with a Welcome. Pimp like that on your ass.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Speaking of 4 a.m, I was awoken.
Yeah?
About roughly 4 a.m. this morning. And you know when something's happening in real life while you're asleep and you sort of start to become aware of it in your dream? So maybe someone's going, Adam, and you're like
dreaming. It kind of breaks through.
And you're like, fuck, wait, that's actually happening. So in my dream, somebody was screaming. And then I sort of started to wake up and I'm like, oh, that's actually someone like right outside the house walking. And they're going, fucking dog, cunt. And then just going, I'm real angry. I'm just bolt upright in bed going, fucking, I might struggle sometimes, but I'm in a very different place to this individual. Mm. And that's what it is, isn't it? He is angry and he never addresses it. Then he gets blind drunk and wanders around at 4 a.m. screaming into the void. It's just an interesting moment, this one.
Yeah, I like those differences.
Yeah, real perspective.
It's not something I'm supposed to say, but I really like knowing I'm better than that.
It's reassuring in a way,
isn't it? It is, yeah, definitely.
Much better equipped. I may not be well equipped, but I'm much better equipped to handle what life throws at me every day.
than that individual.
And it's reassuring. It's also reassuring that it didn't go near my car or near the front door, because then I would have had to take action.
Yeah.
I would have done it, but I wouldn't have wanted to. Like dealing with a big spider in someone's room, you know? You'll do it, sure, but you don't want it.
No.
No part of you wants to.
Not at all. Was it Eddie?
No, I'm familiar with Edward von Stairwell.
Yeah.
And it was a younger person.
Yeah.
Who presumably appears to have all their faculties day to day, but just under the surface it's chaos.
Something there. But at least they sort of addressed it. They knew, I'm really angry.
Yeah. I wonder who he was angry at, a fucking dog. So I'm sure he was wronged that night in some perceived way at Romano's or at the Victoria Hotel. Long walk up fucking Kincaid, though. Screaming your lungs out.
I love it. I wonder, it wouldn't take much to really break that sort of trance that a person, what I imagine that person would be in, because they wouldn't be fully aware of their surroundings. They wouldn't be fully aware of what they were doing.
Mm.
Just take one person to go out there and go, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Fuck, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, even if you're a psycho, you don't want to deal with another psycho.
Yeah, exactly. Especially one with a big knife from the kitchen door.
You there. Stop being so loud or I'll stab you.
That's how you'd have to go, though. You've got to go 10. If someone's already up there, you got to meet it.
Yeah, I'm not doing a knife, though. Knife's fucking scary.
No, someone grab it off you. Yeah. You got to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, knife wounds scare the fuck out of me. I forget...
Just
was
undefendable.
Yeah.
Like, undefendable, unless you had a shield.
And, like, the way it could just really... I forget what movie it was. Maybe it was even Chopper. I feel a bit embarrassed... Like being Australian, doing an Australian podcast and then talking about the movie Chopper.
No, it doesn't matter where
it was made. I feel a little bit, but you know.
It's one of the few sort of Australian things that was decent. That
It was a fantastic. Like, I think his name is Andrew Dominik, the director. Fantastic film. Fuck.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Anyway, when he gets stabbed in the jail,
it's
one of the most sickening scenes I've ever seen, because Jimmy Lufnan, just you hear...
Yeah.
You hear like the thud a few times. He goes, what the fuck's wrong with you? And then he takes his... And then, you start seeing the blood spread.
Yeah.
And then he takes his shirt off and you see it start to... You see the stab wounds and everything. And I remember on one viewing of it, realizing, oh, yeah, that must be what a stab wound is like, because you wouldn't know. Like, how many times have you like cut yourself accidentally or whatever? Just little nicks, paper cuts, stuff like that. And you haven't noticed it for hours, and you've gone, oh, what the fuck? When did that happen?
Yeah.
So if you get stabbed, like, you're especially if it's a thin blade, it might fucking go right.
Like a shank.
It might go right in, real deep. And you wouldn't even really be aware of how serious these injuries are.
Normal people who aren't tough or particularly conditioned to violence get stabbed in the back and stuff. And it's just like, I didn't even know that he'd stabbed me. Like, I felt something.
Yeah.
Like, ow. But, you know, they've been pierced by a blade.
Jeez.
It's
Not for me.
Not for me.
I'll stick to indoors, me.
I was thinking the other day about the difference in, like, if you live in a Middle Eastern country and own a sword, you're probably a terrorist. But if you live in Australia and own a sword, you're a fat nerd that no one's scared of. Isn't it something about fat nerds owning samurai swords and wanting to show people? No, I don't want to see your sword, you fucking loser.
Yeah. Why even is swords aren't cool? Can we know that. We've got to all acknowledge that swords are not cool. I'm not even like I'm not a pro gun guy or an anti gun guy. I don't give a fuck. But I think you're a liar if you think firing a big gun and destroying some shit
is cool.
Yeah, that's fucking cool.
I'm not denying that it might feel good.
Yeah, that's if you're a pro or anti-gun, those are the facts that we should be able to agree on. If you're anti-gun, you should be able to go, look, I'm just worried about people getting killed, but I know, man, it's fucking sick to be able to blow stuff up and just shoot and like feel that power, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. You should be able to go, all right, I know all that, man, I know, but we can't be just like you might be fine, but some other people might get fucked up by guns. Yeah, so we just please.
Yeah.
You know,
laying in bed wanking into a sock feels good too, but it's not cool, is it? I mean, it's not cool. Just because
that's right. That's
just
exactly
because it
right.
feels good doesn't mean anything beyond that. You would have separated
swords. Yeah. People who are obsessed with Game of Thrones.
Mm.
Swords. Oh, yeah. People, people make like replica swords of like Jon Snow's. Lightbringer, which was the Stannis
Oathbreaker. Who was Oathbreaker? I know that's
Oathkeeper.
Ah, yes. I can't remember the nut.
Yeah,
I enjoy Game of Thrones.
Mm.
Oh, of course I do, but
there's a limit.
There is.
There's a limit to that sort of fandom.
You need to know it.
Actually, you know what? That's what we were talking about earlier, like behind the scenes stuff.
Mm.
You know, bands on tour, all that sort of stuff. I didn't know there was shows about making Game of Thrones, like after Game of Thrones.
Yeah, like an hour long. And then you just get to deconstruct the episode and take away all enjoyment.
Yeah, I don't want to see...
Of the fantasy of it all.
And like, I love the production side of TV and movies. I think it's really interesting because it's an altered reality that is created in a way that's all presentation. It has to be...
And it's hard.
Yeah. If you're not a movie guy, if you are a movie guy, you'll understand. But if you're not a movie person, you know the difference when you're watching a good movie to... No, sorry. You know the difference when you're watching a big budget Hollywood movie to a low budget amateur shit.
Like anything with Shane Jacobson.
Although I will say I saw the trailer for whatever that...
Chasing Comets? Oh, no, the
Brothers
dark
one. Yeah. I saw the trailer. I'm like, actually, you know what, man?
Looks
that,
all right.
I did sort of go, that I might watch that.
Uncle Shane does have some good in him.
There might be something there. Anyway, that's just being fair for no reason. Why am I being fair? I don't need to be fair.
He's also doing a show right now where it's just him interviewing kids.
Oh.
That's the state of Australian television. And I watched the footy last night on free to air, and there was a trailer for a new Australian show that's coming out. And it's a crime, like a murder detective, whatever, police force show. How many have we had on free to air television in Australia?
None as good as Blue Heelers.
That's a given. But it's the same actors. So the actors in this show, just from the trailer, there's two actors that were in Home and Away when I was a kid. And the villain, or who seems to be the villain on the trailer, was on Australian Idol.
Okay.
So the cast is made up of recycled actors that you can't even start to suspend disbelief.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like an unknown cast with a really original sort of direction.
There's a reason mostly Kubrick went with unknown actors for almost all of his major roles.
It wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, because you need to... That's what, like I was saying, you've got to present an altered reality to people and sell an idea. You've got to sell an idea to them.
Yeah, exactly. And so this trailer is selling it as a true, well, not true necessarily, but as a gritty, serious fucking mystery. And it's called Bite Club.
No, it's not.
It is.
No.
It's
Does so, it start with the fucking vampire rap? I'm the whisper in the night. Welcome to my Bite Club. Oh.
So it's like this gritty new Australian drama that'll have you on the edge of your seat.
I'm sorry to interrupt you again, but while we're talking about what Bing, Ask Jeeves, it's true. Anyone who's still making Fight Club references and jokes, like and the first rule: do not talk about Fight Club. Was in 2001. Or 2000, I think. 1999. It was 99.
That's 19 years ago.
That was last millennia.
Yeah. Just. Almost two decades have passed.
Just because it was a thing.
And it was a book before that.
Yeah. Just because it was a thing does not mean that we need to keep repeating that.
Yeah.
And just keeping that sort of thing alive. But we all know. And the people who don't know don't need to know because it won't make any sense to them.
It actually scares me. It scares me. Like the idea of a thought loop, like getting caught in a thought loop and then you're just stuck and you're not moving.
Mm.
And then you apply that to real life where you see some people who just get stuck in a loop of misery and live their life that way. I see it the same. For someone who's still making a Fight Club reference to me in jest,
yeah,
I'm like... I feel like you must be trapped. You just
I want to rescue you.
Yeah. I just want to pull you out
of
this thing so you can step aside and go, oh, thank fuck. I don't really want to be saying these things.
Yeah, because you're just filling in a script.
Yeah.
You're just... Sorry, filling in a script. You're just reading the script.
Mm.
You've just... All the template's there and you're just going along with it.
You're an NPC.
It's... Yes. For people who don't play games... Non-playable character. It's an interesting thing. We were talking about this the other day. Now, we're fucking jumping around from topic to topic, so we've got to get back to Game of Thrones and then this Australian drama. But
maybe.
Oh, I need to. We were talking about artificial intelligence is a big thing in the media at the moment.
Even Joe Rogan's scared.
Mm.
That's how big it is.
He's scared about everything, though. He thought Bigfoot was real until about 2011, though.
He still thinks it's real when he's stoned at 1 a.m. on the internet. Just
that's
gone.
That's a good man, because I do think that I've seen him interact with Eddie Bravo, who's a big conspiracy guy who he has on his show all the time, and he's friends with him. And Joe shuts him down when he starts going off about his conspiracy stuff on the show.
Mm.
And that is for no reason other than he doesn't want to deal with his fans shitting on Joe and telling him that he needs to call him out more. Because if he was just hanging out with him, he'd just fucking let him do it.
Yeah, exactly. He wouldn't tell him to shut up and talk about something else.
Yeah, yeah. While we're here, we need to talk. Yeah, like he's just doing... Anyway. What the fuck was I talking about? So we were talking about...
We got on to Bigfoot.
The thought... Thought loop.
Artificial intelligence.
Artificial intelligence. NPCs.
Yeah.
Yeah, non-playable characters is a great way to... Think about like everyone in your life. Like, how many people can you fully be? Can your brain comprehend? You can't really comprehend that many people. It's like Joseph Stalin said, "A murder, no, a single
rest in peace, Joseph."
American icon, Joseph Stalin, said, "A single death is a tragedy. A million deaths is a statistic."
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think that's a very interesting, very true statement, regardless of where it come from.
And we all experience it when we watch the news and see something and go, oh. and then forget about it. Yeah. I mean, it's that is truly devastating to whoever's within that person's little circle.
Yeah, but you can't, and that's why I kind of get like annoyed when people. Now it's unfair for me to do, but I just can't help it. I get annoyed when people start to overexpress emotion about it because your brain just can't. Like, it's a useless thing to do. You can only really express emotion about the people you are connected with and who are around you, your immediate community.
Yeah.
So, anyway, all the people outside of that are NPCs, which are non-playable characters, which are just people going through the motions. And when you play, if you play a video game, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They're just doing little things. And are they there or aren't they there? I don't fucking know. It doesn't affect me. So they might as well not be.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, like, you know, if you play an open world game like Grand Theft Auto, I mean, enough people have played that or know about it to understand. You're in a real world or a real representation of a world, and it's living and breathing, and there's people around you. And if your character is just walking down the street, you'll walk past people, and some of them will just say a line that they've been programmed to say. And it's in, like you said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they were there or not, but they'll say it anyway. But if you stand there with your character and watch them long enough, it's glaringly obvious that they're just a part of the scenery.
Mm.
They're not actually anything beyond that. And that's how I feel when people say just simple rehearsed things like that.
Yeah.
Like, you just may as well not be here.
No use complaining. Nobody would listen anyway.
Yeah, fucking. It makes me want to scream. I feel I feel weird inside. I can't even barely describe how it makes me feel.
It's like a lot of people don't want to step into reality.
Mm.
They don't want to address what's really there. So you just sort of repeat things that you've heard along the way.
Mm.
And just to fill it in, to fill in whatever's meant to happen here. And I've just learned, I've just tuned it out because I work at a grocery store. Like, I hear that shit constantly. And it's just, all right, that's just how it is. And I'm going to engage on my level as frequently as I can. And I'm just going to minimize that stuff coming in.
But I don't want people to think we just have a completely negative mindset and hate talking to people. And
stuff.
It's not like that.
No.
Where
do you begin though? If somebody's like, you know, 40 odd years old and you go, there's nothing in this. Like, you're not going to get anything out of this. I'm not going to. I'm certainly not.
Mm.
So, you know, where are we? Like, I think you should resign back to NPC in my life and we'll just carry on.
Yeah. I'd like to do something different. I'd like to speak on a different level. But I do feel like some people have to step outside of this comfort zone that they've built. So, like, the walls are so thick that where do you start?
Especially if you are miserable and you're expressing misery. That's the other thing. Like, people communally express misery and it's just, like, cool.
Mm.
Like, they just do it and then they'll do it again next week and the week after. And you've got to step out.
Yeah.
Either be happy with it or you've got to make a change, do something a little different. I don't know. I'm fucking losing my mind anyway. What are the other things? We've got Australian drama and we've got Game of Thrones behind the scenes shit. So with Game of Thrones, I like the illusion, I like all that, but I don't want to think of them as I don't want to see them in other acting roles. I like the show because I don't know a lot of the actors. That's one of the contributing factors, one of many contributing factors, but that's one of the things, and I don't want to see them.
That's one of the things that works about it.
Yeah, because it is so different. It's a very different reality that's being presented to me, and so I want to keep it that way. I don't want to see.
Yeah.
I like thinking about the film techniques. I like seeing if there's a nice shot that leads into the next scene, and it's a real subtle little thing.
Constructed that way.
Yeah, and you go, this is cool. This is working well. But
it's the same as comedy. It was funny. I don't need to hear it broken down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's one of these temporary, impermanent things that we enjoy as it comes. And please just leave it at that.
Yeah. That's it. The best, in my mind, the funniest things just happen. And you've got to kind of move along with the rest of the thing. Now, this is a lesson me and Adam have learned from Black Sabbath. So Tony Iommi is a guitarist we both admire to just astronomical levels. So if you're unfamiliar, he's missing three of his fingertips. And he's a left-handed guitarist.
On his fretting hand.
Yeah, yeah, so on his right hand. So on the one that he plays the fucking, like, holds the strings down with. And you know what he did about that? Made his own fingers. He just fucking melted plastic down. He cut leather strips from his jacket so that it didn't slip on the strings. And he wanted thinner strings because it was too hard to play. So there's gauges in strings, and light gauge strings did not exist back then for guitars. They just didn't. So he would buy banjo strings, get the lower strings, like the thin ones that are at the bottom, and he would move them up so that they were one or two, three positions higher than they were meant to be. Now, Adam already knows all this, so I'm just sort of I'm talking to you now. Moved them up. Got banjo strings, got the thinner ones, put them on the bottom, and invented a better string system so that he could continue to play guitar. And then wrote some of the greatest music, in my opinion, of generations. Some of the most inspiring stuff. Anyway.
And down-tuned them as well.
Yes. After,
so they were easier to fret, which down-tuning loosens the string. The tension is less and it's just easier on your fingers, really.
So after two albums, they started down-tuning and just invented two new genres of music on that album. Because he just kind of went, he just had to keep doing. He just was working. He was a man at work. Now, one of the interesting things that happened in that third album too, where they started down-tuning, they started including little interlude kind of songs. Now, actually, we're going to go for an example here. So I'm just going to... Bit of dead air, but you'll get over it.
If you listen to 2AAA, you'll be used to it. There's a world music program on 2AAA, and the guy who runs it cannot pronounce a single artist's name or the names of any of the songs. So it's like, that's a track off the album Avesada Jakarta by Julie's Negro. But I mean, it's unlistenable.
See, this is the thing. This is why you've got to move forward, because you can just Google that. Like, you can just go and type in those words.
Pronunciation.
And you can just type those in and a voice will read it out to you and tell you how to say it. It's 2018. We have the capability to do all this. You don't even have to do the work.
And there's still people just rocking up and going, fucking this. I'm just going to go. I'm just going to do it without even trying. The definition of chug, isn't it?
Yeah. It's an iconic song. Now this song this is called Embryo. And goes for 40 seconds.
Very sparse.
Just, very thin kind of little thing. Now, the point to it is coming up. Fantastic shit. So that's not bad for 1973. Now, the point what me and Adam are getting to is that little interlude song. Now, what that does, and this is even, like, this is something that we figured out ourselves because I think it's pretty obvious, but it also has been talked about by Iommi himself.
Yeah, it was intentional.
Yeah, you've... Thank you for that.
That's all right.
Yeah, bit of audio problems. Yeah, can make sure you fill the audience in on the audio issues.
It's like you're right here in the room with us.
There's that photo of that kid next to that. It's a, like a big advertisement. Like it's a photo on a wall of like all these people sitting around like having breakfast, and there's a kid with like a bowl of cereal, like sitting next to it, just like. And the caption is, "This is what listening to a podcast is like," because he's like pretending that he's got friends. yeah. So the point is that it's a very heavy song. So what's going to make it heavier is you've got to have a moment in between. You can't just have heavy start to finish.
Yeah, no.
You've got to let that in.
And contrast it.
And that's a real lesson there. I think that is universal. It doesn't just apply to music. There's a reason classical music has swells and a little moments where the music can drop and gets a little bit slower. And I think that applies to what's funny as well. I don't want to. That's why classic comedies aren't wall to wall laughs.
No.
The Blues Brothers has spaces in between. Yeah. You've got to have some stuff. You got to have some story. Have some.
It's the exhale, isn't it?
Yeah. You can't just have. Then it's not funny anymore because I can't have a peak of emotion. I can't have a if I'm always at that level, well, then it's not funny anymore. That's just normal.
Yeah, it's baseline. That's it.
So, I can't even remember what the fuck we were talking about.
Well, I think your point's made, though.
Yeah, that's it. It's you've got to have those those moments.
Yeah, in music, it's dynamics.
Yes, and I think it applies to entertainment as well. If you've got a comedy movie, I can't tell you... the last comedy movie that I saw.
Yeah, you can. What was it? You watched it with Ricky.
Oh, okay. Oh, shit. Oh, you're right. You are right.
I didn't see it.
I'm gonna find out. Yep. I'm gonna look it up now. To preface this, before this film came out, I didn't give a shit. I did not like. I don't like comedy anymore. I can't tell you. Improvisation ruined comedy. This ties in slow death too,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was just a drag,
and it's still doing, it's still happening. That's the definition of beating a dead horse.
That's what I mean. It's like, you know, grandpa's been on life support for 7 years,
yeah,
and you've been through the emotions of letting go. You know what I mean? Yeah. So even though it is still happening,
yeah,
it's peaked.
No, you're right.
Yeah, in a way.
It's an uncomfortable thing to admit.
This is not a true anecdote, but this is my comparison.
No, you're absolutely right. It's one of those things, uncomfortable to admit. A lot of people don't want to talk about it, but that's the reality.
That's the reality of it, yeah.
So I was I remember going to watch This Is the End, which I think was about 2011. Now, not a lot of people liked that film. I enjoyed it.
I thought it was funny.
But... I read an interview with the director who was talking about how much of the movie was improvised. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I know. Well, you'll notice it in Will Ferrell movies. They were the kicker. Will Ferrell, with his improvisation in movies, was the thing that sort of sealed the thing. So what they do is they set up a scene, and then because film isn't expensive anymore, you can just film it all on digital. It's all on memory cards. It's easy. You can just do it over and over. So what they did, you see it in the credits of Anchorman.
Yeah.
You see him just trying different things.
In any Will Ferrell bloopers, it's the one scene and there's parameters in the scene. But in between those parameters,
it's
improv.
I'm just throwing out whatever. And you go, oh, okay. I thought you were the best.
Yeah.
I thought you were hilarious and funny. So you're just saying whatever, just throwing some random things. I need to act like I am yelling. Why am I so angry at you? Look like a child born in the 1800s who was brought forward through time.
Yeah. He's just trying to, you're just trying to out-ridiculous yourself.
I'm fucking over it.
And the set, if I was doing that, I mean, I'm not saying I'm above it or anything like that, but I do tend to step away from what I'm doing a lot just because I think it's good practice. If you were just to step away from that for a set, you go, I feel silly. I feel silly doing this. There has to be a better way. We've been doing this for a long time. But they don't.
They do,
it doesn't happen. I just think it's because everyone tells them it's hilarious.
Yeah, because they're in their entertainment bubble.
Yeah. In pedo wood.
Yeah. Which we don't even need to fucking. I'm assuming we're all on board with that. I'm assuming we all know.
Anyone who's listened to this is on board.
So yeah, I started going, well, why are we paying you? Why are you earning so much money if essentially what you're doing is setting up a scene, throwing shit at the wall, seeing what sticks,
yeah,
and then stitching these movies together. And oh yeah, this is amazing. This is hilarious. So I'm just like, oh fuck this. So it was This Is the End. But prior to that, Tropic Thunder, which I think was
that's my last. The last comedy movie I enjoyed, I think.
Fantastic. Yeah. It pushes boundaries. It's fucking
it's
funny.
Well, it's tight.
I want to see movies that are edgy. I want to see movies that are pushing things, but not. I don't want to see them just say cunt for a long time. I don't care. I want to, like, it's a good mix. It's like we were talking about. It's got dynamics.
Yeah.
Where it's got, you know, your PG jokes mixed in with, you know, it's about just being funny. So especially done with Adam Sandler. Which is it's very popular to bash Adam Sandler. He's horrible. He's awful. I know. We all know.
He knows.
Yeah. But he did do some of the greatest comedies. That's just how it is. Eddie Murphy had his Axel Foley character. He had
Norbert.
But he had his big hits. He had his thing. Shit. And then it transferred over to Adam Sandler.
Mm.
And then from Adam Sandler, it kind of went away. And then Will Ferrell picked it up a little bit. And then, but that's it. That's what we mean. We're witnessing the death of comedy. That ball's been dropped. Yeah. It's like a relay race and it's kind of just over. Adam Sandler, sorry.
They keep getting older, but the characters they play don't.
Mm.
So they're just 55-year-old men acting like teenagers.
Yeah.
It's just not funny.
It's funny to laugh at. Mm. I will laugh at you doing these things, but that's the thing. I wouldn't trade my life to be doing some of those things. I just go, nice. I'd rather be like a jackass guy.
Yeah, definitely, where it's just no frills. I mean, it's they're not lying to anybody, are they?
Yeah. But this is, yeah, it's being sold as shit. Anyway, so done with Adam Sandler, particularly done with Chris Rock, because he is forced into a lot of movies. Yeah.
He's not even good.
What the fuck? Stop it.
Oof.
I'm just going to turn that off. There we go. That'll make it better. Okay. So.
No.
Anyway.
Just bear with us, guys.
Okay. This movie is called The Week Of. And it has Chris Rock. And it has Adam Sandler. And it was released in 2018.
On Netflix.
I know. I know what you think. I agree. I know. I went in with the exact same attitude, but I was convinced, give it a chance. And maybe it was my mood that made me appreciate it, but it was like a fucking comedy movie from the 90s, like an Uncle Buck, like one of those like wholesome kind of movies where you go, because Adam Sandler, he's playing an old guy.
Mm.
He's playing an old frustrated dude. He's playing every man, Family Guy, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He's playing that type of thing. But there's some edgy jokes in there. There's, I don't know, man. There was something about it. Or I'm like, holy shit, he can still do it.
We shouldn't have doubted Ricky. He can pick a good comedy film.
I think it's worked in that I've shit on every recommendation of his for years and years at a time, that he will now only bring the best of the best to the table.
I think it's part of the reason he left the show originally. Like, it does hurt him.
But it's paid off now.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm looking at this and it's got 5 stars on IMDb. Mm. 5 out of 10.
Really?
Which is perfect. That's for 5-star Adam Jacobson.
Exactly.
It might be right. This will be the test. If I can convince you to watch this movie and we'll bring it to the show and we'll see what your thoughts are. I might be wrong here.
That system though, 5 stars, it's 5 out of 5 for me.
Mm.
It's, I mean, you can call it 10 out of 10, but who does 10 stars?
Yeah.
I hate these things. Let's agree on something. Let's agree on a fucking system. There's some that only go up to 4. I don't understand it. So then if you only go up to 4, then 4's the 5. Yeah.
Roger Ebert was pushing that sort of
that's
shit.
That's who I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't he in a wheelchair for the last few years?
Wasn't he a pedophile?
Probably.
I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't quite get there because he didn't make it in Hollywood.
Because he was disabled.
Was he in a...
I'm pretty sure he was severely disabled for the last... Like, he couldn't talk and stuff like
that.
Is
he dead now?
Yeah, yeah. He died fairly, like, last year, maybe.
Okay. I just see... How is film critic a job? Why is... What more does he know than me?
It is an odd thing. Like, I don't...
What's his criteria? That's what you need to be clear on. If you're going to be a critic, you really have to have a defined criteria, don't you? That everything can be measured against.
Yeah. And because they change them too. They change their reviews like 10 years later. Oh, I was wrong about this because everyone likes it now.
Yeah.
Oh, righto. I don't understand. But at the same, it's one of those things that shouldn't exist, but it does. Here we go. In 2006, this required he had cancer of the thyroid and salivary glands.
Oof, that's rough. Poor Rog.
His required treatment necessitating the removal of his lower jaw and cost him the ability to speak and eat normally and left him severely disfigured.
That's crook.
Mm.
Old 4-star Roger Ebert.
Well, one ahead. You're ahead.
Exactly, I'm one ahead.
He's put himself behind.
I'm up a star and a lower jaw.
Oh, it just advantages out the arse.
Yeah, and it's all mindset, Roger.
Yeah.
You be start positive, at 4. Mate. If you peak at 4, what happens next?
There's a, but that's the thing. If movies exist, there are people who watch them and want to see. Like, for me, I used to enjoy reading and hearing reviews early on when I started getting into film because there were just things that I didn't understand.
Mm.
And just like little aspects that they could point out and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, that's how you get the knowledge.
That's what
you do when you first get into something, isn't it?
So
I'd do the same thing.
Mm.
Finish a movie, get on Wikipedia.
Yeah, learn a little bit.
What did I miss? You know, what was intentional? What was unintentional?
And then, but eventually
you
develop that sort of skill so you could just spot things and you go, oh, yeah.
That's how you calibrate that understanding of what you're in.
So I don't know if they just, I guess they just stuck to that thing forever.
And they had contracts with networks.
Yeah.
That's really what it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We like it when you do this. Well, the crowd seems to like it when you do this. So more of that. And
good luck with the cancer.
Here's a couple of movies we've chosen for you to talk about.
Yeah. We'll send you a few screeners in. Don't bother coming in. They don't want to see you around.
No, you've had a good run.
Yeah.
But
yeah, sorry. It's just because your office is like sort of up there, so you got to kind of go through the thing.
Yeah.
And people, they don't need to see that.
And Roger, you are missing half your head. And we just can't have that.
Yeah, we just can't. Sorry. It's just
you
bad.
Understand.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah,
answer.
Bad optics.
Just nod.
Yeah.
Just nod, Roger. Okay. Off you go.
Only 2 stars. Oh, fuck. Right. Some can't please everyone.
Not too bad, though. You can come out in your bed, can't you? People wheel you around in your bed in public. That's all right.
Poor dude.
I know.
He's dead. He's well dead.
Yeah,
no. No, I did. I know. I watched Full Metal Jacket the other night. I've seen it at least 4 times, 5 times maybe.
Yeah.
And I think that's psychotic to some people, watching a movie just over and over. But I've seen
not
it
to me.
But for years, like over years, I mean, I'm not like not like recently. But I do find it interesting because it's a little gauge. Like, have you ever watched a TV series and you've got to the next season and just gone, nah,
yeah, fucking that's all I do.
Because now that's happened.
Mm.
I think that's happened to a lot of people. There are two potential reasons. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's one of them, whatever. And I think it's the TV show has changed. The writers have changed their mind, whatever. They've gone in a different direction. Or you have changed, which you would hopefully have done in that course of the year, and the show hasn't caught up.
Yeah.
And the show is stuck in the previous year, and they're doing that same shit. So I think with something that you know you enjoy, like a film, where you're not looking forward to the next part, it's good to revisit and go, oh, these parts are still good. Oh, those parts are kind of shit. Like, just to... It's own little mental exercise.
Yeah, you're trying to find the formula.
Mm.
That's
it.
Yeah,
what works.
That's, you can strip it back to that, regardless of the skin it's in.
Right. You're trying to break it down to it. Yeah, to its core. What are the main ingredients?
The mechanics.
In it?
Yeah.
And the thing that I noticed this time was the editing Well, okay, so how it was shot, and in between scenes, you'll notice a lot of... So the set will be, you know, fairly close to the screen, and it'll go back like a movie, no, sorry, like a photo of like a driveway or something, or a long stretch of road where it sort of disappears into the distance. That is a very common theme in the sets.
Mm.
Things go, things stretching farther away and people coming towards and going back. And you'll notice in between editing, a lot of those sort of things sync up. Where, you know, they'll be coming towards the camera in... Oh, no, sorry. Okay. So leaving away from the camera, walking away. So they're getting smaller and smaller. And then in the next scene, it fades away and they're in a totally different area, but they're coming towards the camera.
Yeah.
And it's little stuff like that, little subtle things that make up a great movie,
very,
I think.
Very simple, very simple too. Mm. Like if you, like you say, strip it all back, it's those little things that count. That you can dress them up in any way, but as long as you're on these along these lines,
and that's the beauty of it. That's the thing that all the subtle things that you don't notice on first viewing. Those are the real important parts, I think.
Yeah, that's what makes it a craft, and just not something that everyone can do.
Mm.
Even though everyone seems to think that they can.
Yeah, which is it's very noticeable. You watch any amateur film, you watch. Film festival films, all that sort of stuff, and you can just watch it and you go, oh, there's just a difference. I don't know what it is.
Mm. Yeah,
I can't point it out. I can't say exactly, but if you showed a commercial directed by somebody who just directs commercials, or a commercial that was directed by David Fincher, and you'll go, oh, yep, you'll be able to pick. You'll be able to go, who's the main guy? And so David Fincher's the guy who directed Fight Club.
Yeah.
Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Panic Room.
Panic Room, good movie. I enjoyed that when I think I've only ever seen it once as a kid, but I enjoyed it.
It's a good movie. It's an interesting one. It's one of those ones where it's like the sort of more info that you have, the better it is, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
Like he came off Fight Club, which was one of his most expensive movies, and like big sets, all that sort of stuff. The most film he's ever used in filming, like most reels of film used. So he wanted to do something really basic, but still challenging. So it's a whole film set in a house.
Yeah.
So there's nothing outside of that. And that's interesting, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And it's
setting boundaries, and then you've got to adhere to that.
Yeah. And it's also not a boundary in a way, because it's really that's not what's important so much.
Yeah, what can I pull out of this?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So Australian drama. What's that? What was it called?
Bite Club. So I think, and this is what I could gather, I think the serial killer, I don't know, he either fucking chews his victims up, or he like extracts their teeth or something, like he kills them and takes a tooth. I mean, it must have something to do orally.
Yeah.
But yeah, all this stuff... All this intensity, and they're building it up like you'll be on the edge of your seat, like from the makers of Underbelly and all that kind of shit. Bite Club. It's like they're just trying to see what they can get away with.
Yeah, why can't you commit to an idea? Why can't you go, all right, we're going to make this a drama. We're going to make it solid, and we're going to make it a thriller, a drama. We're going to cross it over. We're going to make it those themes.
Yeah.
Why put this is what Australia's bad for. Here's the thing. I don't like bashing Australia. I really like Australia.
I'm not bashing it. That's what they're presenting.
But what I'm about to say is, we need to fucking move on from all the puns. We need to get off puns in headlines, puns in advertising, just puns on products. It's okay. Like, they just do it.
Yeah.
Why?
I know. Let's leave it to the best. And that's people who own Thai restaurants. Let's leave it to them, and we can separate entertainment and go to the next level.
Yeah. You know what? What was it? Okay. So it was actually I was sitting with Adam's partner, and it was during a football game, and the Melbourne Storm were playing. And I don't think she's like overly familiar with football. So it's just like, oh, yes, Melbourne Storm. Oh, yeah, their mascot, Storm Man. came out. And see, here's the thing. If you're familiar, if you just grew up with this stuff, you just kind of go, oh, yeah, along with it. But you need to step back and have a look at it from the outside. And you realize, oh, yeah, they're playing Thunderstruck. And I'm like, oh, yeah, see that? They're playing Thunderstruck because they're the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah.
And she said the exact right thing. You went, oh, that's clever. And it was that's the perfect thing to say because it's completely accurate, 100% accurate. It's dismissive, which is entirely deserved. That's it. That's the best it gets is, yeah. Oh, that's clever.
Ultimately, it elicits no response.
Yeah. And that's what all these puns are. You go, okay, yeah, you've tied that in. So that's for you. That's not for the audience. I'm not getting any fucking enjoyment out of this. Just do your job.
Exactly. And people get paid. Like they have a role. Yeah. They're creative.
How many creative people roles worked on that show?
All of the people that are involved. I mean, it
sounds like half the Australian population.
Yeah.
Fucking unbelievable.
It's one of the major networks. So there would be fucking hundreds of people involved.
And they're getting, and it's Bite Club, which is, why can't you just be
And that went through a lot of people. A lot of people went, yep.
Yeah.
Bite Club it is.
Yeah, that's it. Like, how many movies, when they're in development, just have like a fake name and they're still like unsure about what they're like going to call it? Yeah, and they're just like, all right, we'll settle on something that that really sort of works because it does matter.
Mm.
It matters. And so you've had producers, director, assistant director, writers, you've had all them. And
network heads who don't have anything to do with it but have to still see what's going on.
And they fucking said.
And it got the green light.
Bite Club. 1999, Fight Club came out.
It got the KFC green light.
Fucking unbelievable.
2018.
I just want it to be better. I just want us to be ultimately producing cooler stuff because if the potential's there, we can do it.
Yeah, especially if people spend so much time watching it.
Yeah.
Like watching TV, listening to the fucking radio.
And that's it. TV's bigger than ever. Everyone knows that. TV series.
More accessible than ever.
Yes. Yes. The live streaming services are huge.
Remote controls have a Netflix button now.
That's crazy.
Just ready to go. So it's just assumed that if you own a TV, you want these options and you will.
I want people to start going, no, I'm not going to watch that. Oh, why? Because the name's shit.
Yeah.
Oh, but the show itself's really good. I don't care.
It doesn't matter. There's fucking 150 other shows that came out this month.
If they were 100% committed to making a good show, they would have put in some effort with the name. If they got lazy on the name.
On the one thing that we have given to us. So there's a new show coming out. I won't tell you much about it, but it's called Bite Club. Okay.
Mm, yeah.
Sorry.
No, thanks. I'd rather watch Big Bite with Chris Lilley and that fat chick.
Big Bite? Was that what it was called?
That was, 2003, I think, thereabouts.
Fuck.
Yeah, that was when he was doing Extreme Darren and that kind of stuff.
Mm.
Before
he started making squashed nigger jokes. That wasn't me. That was Chris Lilley.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. That's the other side of it. We do have. I think some of the funniest shows.
Yeah.
That have come out in the last 10 years. I don't laugh at if people are watching. Are people watching Community and laughing? Are people watching Parks and Recreation? We'll just
Ron
do some
Swanson.
Okay, cool.
He likes bacon.
Yeah.
Chopping wood.
I like this publicly approved. No, sorry. It's like state approved masculinity, that kind of idea.
Exactly.
It's PG. It's approved by a single mum somewhere. Righto. Thank you. Thanks for that. Shut up. Ron Swanson. He's a gay man. He's a gay dude. Which is fine.
A closet.
It's cool.
Yeah.
But you know.
Just embrace it, Ron.
It's bad.
That's what they want us to. Yep.
So Chris Lilley had some of the funniest shows.
And Australian people in general, Australia, the funniest people I know are Australian people.
yeah, in general,
aren't doing comedy or aren't making TV shows and stuff. So it's there.
Which is why, that I guess that's it. That's why our comedy community is shit. Yeah. Because I'm not going to go to a comedy club because I'd have much more fun just hanging out with people I went to school with.
Yeah. Who are funny.
Just, yeah, and who funny. Know.
Yeah.
Who aren't worried about who aren't worried about trying to sell an idea to a TV network to make a shitty TV show based on our... Oh, I'll tell you what, I'll do some stories about my office and then we can...
Yeah.
But that's what they do. They have an idea because they want to make a TV show and they start doing it on stage, so, you know, hoping that somebody will come along and be like, we can make this. We should do business, yeah. That's it. It's all corrupt. Yeah. There's not a fucking single pure like thought or idea that exists in that world.
Nah. Not especially beyond the conception stage. Once maybe there is in conception, but it all gets stripped right away in the production process.
Fucking disgusting. All right, we should turn around. We'll talk about something positive before we end the show.
Okay.
What's something that you like? I like things.
I like
a lot of stuff, but I think it's good to come on here and exercise our disdain for things.
I'll leave you with some speculation that I don't take in much media because it's poison. But from my feed of news that I just receive when I go onto like the Google homepage, I think the global media are trying to paint Elon Musk as a pedophile.
Yep.
Why though? Why is he disliked by that?
Okay, so I'm either inside the bubble or outside the bubble or in a different bubble to what is to other people, because I've got people in my own life who are like, oh yeah, did you see this thing Elon Musk did, trying to get attention. I'm like, sorry, getting carried away again. You know those little Thai boys
that got lost in the cave?
No, it's the ladies.
Oh yeah,
yeah, no, yes, yeah, the cave
dwellers,
the cave dwelling little lady boys who got lost, and Elon Musk was doing some experiment, building something to try and figure out something. And it was posted on Twitter. And now it can be looked at to go, oh, he's just doing this to get attention. Just a rich guy trying to get attention. Oh, well, if you're rich, why are you getting more attention? Like, don't you want to just be sort of like left alone? Yeah, why would he be doing that?
He would have more attention than he can knows what to do with.
And he even said it. He's talked about it on Twitter where he said, oh, fuck, bringing up Twitter again. I try not to. I'm sorry.
But this is how these people communicate to the globe. I mean,
well, that's
the
it.
Reality.
Kanye West, when he watched Deadpool 2, was just like, dope movie. Some of the music sounded like my tracks. They should have just asked me. I would have said, okay. and that's great because he could, like, that's it. It's access. Most people were like, we couldn't do that. So, but now maybe, anyway. So he's gone, once you get past a certain level of income, you start becoming the enemy to people. So you're just painted, like the word billionaire is used as a negative thing in the context of most news articles.
Yeah. It certainly always prefaces the person.
Yeah.
Billionaire. XXX.
Yeah, rather than just talking about whatever. So it was something that could have potentially helped. Maybe not. It doesn't matter. The intention was... Why does the good intention matter? No, sorry. Why does the good intention not matter in the case of Elon Musk? But not for... I've got no example to come.
But what did he say about the ladyboys?
Oh, he just... No, so it's one of the guys, one of the teachers or something like that.
The coach or whatever.
Yeah, called him a piece of garbage, called him a piece of shit, something, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Said he was just a media whore or something like that. And so the Elon Musk apparently made a joke alluding to him being a pedophile.
Yeah.
And which is just, I think it's funny. Mm. It's just a shitty exchange. He just went, and he apologized for it. And he said no. And so now they're trying to paint him as a pedophile.
Yeah.
Which
is... Because he made a comment on like a... It said they grow up so fast, and he had a side-by-side of Hannah Montana and then Miley Cyrus when she was like sticking her tongue out. Grinding on whatever.
So
on people and whatever.
They're doing that when, okay, so give me 10 seconds.
Yep. That's all you need.
And I can find some fucked up stuff.
And this was, I didn't look into this. I don't look at Twitter, but this is just what was in my feed. And the nature of the titles, like the leaning of the bias, just made me think, they're trying to shut him down for some reason.
Yeah.
And it's always pedophilia. They go, fuck it, this person's a pedophile, you're done.
And that's why the right-wing guys are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Because it's the one thing that will break through.
Yeah.
So that's why James Gunn, the guy who directed Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2, got canned from number 3 for pedo jokes on Twitter.
Yeah, right.
And that was all, I'm pretty sure it was Mike Cernovich.
Yeah.
And I just, I'm on this, I don't know, I don't really have an opinion, I guess. I just see it as, well, people have been playing dirty for forever, and now the other side is just doing the same thing.
Yeah, as the story goes.
Yeah, as to be expected.
Throughout all of history.
So we've got An Open Secret, which is a film about pedos in Hollywood.
Which we hate.
I'm actually struggling. This is all stuff not related to Hollywood.
They'd be blocking it out of your feed. They know you're woke.
But this is, it's like, all day I'm seeing people who used to be, who were convicted of child sex crimes hired in Hollywood.
Yeah.
To work on kids' films and things like that. So I just find it weird that, okay, we can publicly speculate on this guy who's rich.
Yeah.
And so when they asked him about like colonizing Mars and things like that, Elon Musk, I mean.
Yeah.
They were like, how will you handle like government and legality and things like that? And he's just like, he had a pretty good breakdown. I can't remember what it was exactly, but it was essentially as much freedom as possible. Things will come down to vote by elected community leaders, so it'll be a majority vote in that context. But it will have to, but it will be like it's like a 40% majority needed to do things. Anyway, it was broken down in a way that was like, this guy just wants people to be as free as possible and not have any government interference holding people back from doing stupid, just having, just developing things.
Yeah.
And that just seemed to piss off a lot of people. So they've decided to go after him. So we've got,
I have to take a squirt.
Yeah, go for it, mate. I'm just going to do a big dive in and hopefully find something. This is in California. Former Weinstein co-lawyer busted for child sex crimes has license suspended by state bar. Benjamin Lawson Adams pled no contest to one count of sex crimes upon a 14-year-old. Fucking hell. Here we go. Police missed many chances to stop rock star pedophile. Why is he rock star first? Ian Watkins, lead singer of Lost Prophets. 6 reports in 4 years prior to it. See, this is a big one. I don't know if people know Lost Prophets. I don't like the band. I never did. But this guy got caught a few years ago wanting to fuck babies. Not even kidding. I don't know why I'd even say it like that. He would get mothers who were fans of his band to bring their kids on Skype for him and things like that. Just one of the most fucking disgusting people. So apparently there was 4 reports about Ian Watkins from Lost Prophets. 6 reports in the 4 years prior to his arrest. Why the, so that was all under that. That was not brought to anyone's attention. But we can talk, or we can talk and speculate about Elon Musk being a pedo.
Yeah,
I find that really fucking bizarre.
We unfortunately saw Ian Watkins at Soundwave.
Oh, really?
Performing with his band when he would have been actively, he was an active pedophile at the time, and just allowed to continue to be a rock star.
Because why? Like, that's that. See, we've got confirmed things.
Yeah.
Or things that should be investigated, and then we could just go wild speculation because he posted a photo of a chick being like a wholesome teenage icon to being a bit of a weird, gross whore.
A spectacle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, just, this is just fucked up. Here we go. Dan Schneider. He's the guy who was Nickelodeon, who was a Nickelodeon producer.
Yeah. Yep.
And he was just allowed over and over again to keep working on kids' shows.
On a kids' network.
It's fucking unbelievable. See, just double, anyway.
I don't know. It is the double standard that hurts, isn't it?
I think.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I don't know what sets it. Who sets it?
I wish I knew.
I don't know how deep it runs.
I don't know how to... Because I'm not paranoid enough to think that it's like some controlled thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do also think that there's just something. There's some idea driving these things, which we won't figure out until, you know, 20, 30 years. People look back and go, ah, yep, here we go.
That was the nice thing that we were going to finish the show on. The good, positive, funny thing. Pedophilia. In Hollywood.
All right, I've got one. Before we go,
mm-hmm.
One more thing that we need to... While we talked about... Talked about Guardians of the Galaxy. They were in The Avengers. And you know who else was in The Avengers? The Hulk. You know why I'm going to bring up The Hulk? Because we're on the trend of talking about things that people overuse and we're done with.
Mm.
Hulk pants. We all know that the Hulk wears clothes and then he turns into the Hulk. Oh, his pants stay on. They must be made of something really strong. How many Hulk movies has there been?
Yeah.
We don't need that anymore.
You know that they can't just have a big green phallus.
Yeah. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So they're going to have pants on. We understand that. It's not a joke anymore.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise. It's not an acute observation. It's not something that's just come out. Oh, you know what? That really slipped under the radar. Fuck off.
Yeah. Milky, you should have warned us that we wouldn't like you when you were angry.
Oh, fuck me. That was Ian Watkins' defense. He's, no, joke. I wasn't a pedophile on those occasions. That's my secret. I'm always a pedophile.